there are many great websites out there, many tracking tools and that kind of thing, but I take it you've figured there was a need for something else, and specifically for how things are changing over time, or?
Yeah, so at the time, actually, there was not any of that. There is an abundance of information presently, but on March 14th, which is when we all first spoke, there was pretty much nothing publicly available that was projecting COVID infections online for public or the decision makers to see. And that was what was really the impetus for us to move and to create this disease intelligence platform.
Is it still useful nowadays then?
Yeah, it is. It is. So, I mean, as you noted, there are a number of different epidemiology models out there, and they all say more or less the same thing. There's some differences in assumptions and some differences in method, but they're more or less the same. The COVID Act Now epidemiology model is the only model that provides county level and local projections, as well as data analysis around different metrics like infection growth rate, test positivity, healthcare capacity, and we're about to launch analysis on a state and also county level relating to contact tracing and the prevalence of contact tracing. So as more resources have emerged, we've tried to focus on areas where we can add the most value to the nation's COVID response. And that has been providing local and hyper-local metrics and modeling.
So I hopped on the site today, playing around with it, looking around by using the map and checking out Alaska's numbers. Surprised to see Alaska's infection rate is still up around 1 and among some of the higher infection rates, even though our overall numbers in the state are pretty low.
Yeah, so in infection rate speaks to the rate of growth with COVID. And so it can be a little bit like pumping the brakes while you're going 5 miles per hour versus pumping the brakes while you're going 45 miles per hour. And you might be pumping the brakes the exact same amount at those different velocities, but the sort of real world significance of slowing down and the risk that you are assuming is quite different. So what am I trying to say? Alaska has such low per capita number of COVID infections relative to the 50 states. We do have an infection growth rate that is just a little bit below 1, which is, you know, higher than you'd want. We want to be as close to 0.0 as possible. But because the total number of infections we have is already quite low, when you consider that infection growth rate in context, it's a little less discouraging than it might seem at first blush. And also just the fact that the infection growth rate is below 1.0 means the disease is still retreating, which is a good thing, even if it's not that far.
That's the significant benchmark. If it's above 1, it's growing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we want to be below 1.0. We want to beat COVID, and beating COVID means that the disease is retreating and not growing.
What else about COVID Act Now would you like to get the word out about?
Well, I think it's really helpful to sort of be informed and have a sense of what the data are in understanding the disease and understanding sort of what the relative risks are. And you know, I think our goal is to provide data and analysis that allows individuals, like regular normal people, as well as governments, to make the most informed and therefore the best decisions possible. Because we're going to be in this balancing act for months and months and months here going forward, and the better data we have, the better analysis we have, the better we can manage this pandemic going forward until we get a vaccine.